This podcast is part of the Podcast Arcade Network.
Hello and welcome to the Covert Nerd Podcast. Thank you for listening. It means a lot to me that you take the time out of your day to hear what I have to say. Before we go any further, please, if you know somebody that might be interested in this topic, help me out by sharing it with them and let them know that you thought this would be interesting and maybe they'll enjoy this episode as well. You can go to covertnerd.net to find all the different ways to get in touch with me via social media, past episodes. And again, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Today we talk with another HeroQuest fan, Kurgan, about HeroQuest, the long journey he's had with HeroQuest since he was a kid and now as an adult. So without further ado, let's dive right in and nerd it up with Kurgan. I was just going to talk about HeroQuest, and it's been kind of interesting to get everybody's perspective on the game. And so just start out, I guess, maybe by telling the listener, when did you first see HeroQuest? Not necessarily when you bought it, but maybe if you're like most people, you saw it and then you went out and got it. So tell us a story about that.
Right. Well, it may come as a bit of a shock, but I never actually had HeroQuest back in the day.
Okay.
It was my younger brother who got it for Christmas.
Sure.
I first saw it, as many did, with the TV commercials.
Yes.
More than likely, it was during Saturday morning cartoons. You know, that's when they advertised toys. Okay. So that would have been, I guess, 1990 was when it came out. I don't know, you know, too much exactly. It was probably 91 or 92 that we actually got it.
What was it that caught your eye, though, like most young people or kids? What was it like, oh, my gosh, that is awesome. I got to have that.
I think the commercial definitely sold it. I mean, since I live in the U.S., we didn't have the brood sword, you know, jokes that everybody makes fun of now. I mean, if you watch the U.K. version of the commercial, it sounds like Christopher Lee. Now, that was a really awesome commercial. But I think the U.S. version was great, too. It just made it look like, okay, yeah, we'd heard of Dungeons & Dragons, but we never played it as kids. And so it was like, here is a game where you've got 3D monsters, 3D furniture. You've got everything there, so it's not like you're like, now where is my character? Let me plot it out on this graph paper. That was our perception of what D&D was.
Yeah.
This looked like it was action-packed. You know, it had all the fantasy creatures. Now, in the commercial, the one guy, like, plays the card, and then the other guy plays the card, so it looks like you're fighting each other, which never actually happens in the game. But it kind of gave you a sense that, oh, you had these cool, like, spells and weapons. And so, as a kid, I was interested in fantasy and stuff. I mean, it wasn't a neck beard, I guess, but
yeah,
didn't have a beard then. Yeah, I think it just, it made it look exciting. It made it look like there was just a lot going for it. And
sure.
So sure enough, my brother got it. He got the two expansions and then.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was just going to ask. So let's fast forward to when you first got it, you and your brother played it. It sounds like, so what was that experience like when you first tore into it and what did you all do?
Well, my brother was quite a bit younger than me. He was pretty advanced for his age. And if he hears this, I hope he understands I'm not, you know, making fun of him or anything. He was really cool.
Yeah.
Cool guy. I still like him and we get along great. But anyway, he was the GM, but I want to say my dad was actually the GM first because, I mean, it says recommended for ages 10 and up. He was quite a bit younger than that.
So
I kind of took the first game. But after that, it was like, okay, this is your game, and you're going to just do it. And I think because we were just starting from zero, we played other board games, obviously, but we didn't quite know, like, when it said, like, roll a six-sided die for each of your mind points, we didn't quite understand what that meant. So we kind of, like, made up our own rules to kind of figure it out. And I can remember as a kid this is one of your later questions, so maybe I'm jumping ahead, but I can remember thinking like, oh man, let's skip the section on traps. That's too complicated. You know, spells. Okay. Let's do that later. Let's just play the game.
Okay. Do it. Oh, okay. But so you kind of had some early house rules of no traps and no spells. Is that right?
Well, we sort of gradually added them in.
Okay. Okay.
We didn't quite understand how they really worked, so we kind of made up our own rule that made sense to us. And then we realized later, oh, we were doing it wrong. Let's
okay. Over.
I see grown-ups and gaming groups doing that too. It's like, okay, remember last week? Okay, let's just forget that. I just read the rules. start over.
Okay.
So I think when we first started, we were excited. There was that thrill of discovery. Like, okay, Zargon has this hidden map that tells everything, and the heroes are just going to figure it out.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, try to stay alive. Try not to get killed. And the games are really long, too, but there was always just that thrill of discovery, I think.
Sure. What was it like then when you got to that? You had the quest book, you know, that had all the quests in it. When you found the blank quest book at the end, the map at the end, what was that like? Or at least for me, I was like, oh my gosh, you can play, make your own quests. What ideas popped in your head? Or do you remember?
Yeah, I remember the first mistake we made was writing actually on it in pen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Instead of, okay, we need to take this to the store, to the photocopier and copy it off. So we like whited out like and fixed all the stuff that we'd written in and then like redraw the lines so they're all crooked.
Oh no.
So we have all these photocopies of quests. I think my brother, very creative guy, he came up with all kinds of different stories. And I think we were always trying to still set it in the same universe. So we didn't have weren't the Power Rangers or Street Fighter. It was always like the same, oh, this king, you know, hired you to save this knight or kill this monster. They were all kind of like geared towards, they would kind of fit in the, a bunch of orcs are, you know, kidnapping people. You got to go stop them, whatever it was. So yeah, the creative part of it really took off. I think we played that at least as much as we did the official quests in there.
I agree. And I think that's what was part of the charm of the game was that adaptability and creativity you could apply and the simplicity, like you talked about. It sounds like you were pretty young. You and your brother were pretty young, so it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard to pick up, was it? How to play, other than maybe the traps and the spells a little bit at first, but
right. Yeah, I think having the rule book there helped a lot. But,
sure.
I think it was easy to get into as far as adding like complexity to it, because now as a grown up, it's like, you know, this is a fun game. It's kind of nostalgic, but I want a little more complexity. So I'm going to add all these house rules, you know, to whatever. We didn't really have that much of that attitude. It's more like, oh, this is a fun game. We just want more of it.
Well, speaking of house rules, I guess, what are some fun house rules that you've come up with over the years?
Sure. I love seeing other people's house rules, but some of the ones that we had, I think one of them was, okay, normally heroes can pass through each other, monsters can pass through each other, mm-hmm. but like if you run out of movement and there's somebody in your path, well, they just stop you. That's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
Well, we would say, oh, if you still got movement left and there's a hero in front of you and, you know, like the dwarf could like bounce off the barbarian's head and you could like push him forward one more spot. I guess we just wanted to get as much out of each turn as we could. We would do that. And we make little sound effects as we played. Like you always had to make a certain sound effect when you killed someone or when you blocked an attack or when you bounced off someone's head or when you found a secret door. And so we would do these sound effects. It was just so silly looking back, but it was fun at the time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Another house rule I can remember. There might've been others. Oh yeah. This is, I'll do the normal one first and then the funnier one.
So okay.
The normal one was, okay, there's somebody way at the end of the hall and you've got a potion that they need. Like, okay, I'm going to roll to see if I like throw it and catches it. Like if you get a skull, he fumbled it and broke it.
Drop the potion. Nice. I like that.
Yeah. So it's kind of a cute little thing. I don't think we did it that very often, but like, okay, I'll allow it. Fine.
So you roll it, you're rolling it to the other hero. Is that right?
Well, throwing it.
Sorry.
I guess rolling it would make more sense. But
yeah.
Dungeon. The funnier one was, and this was on my part, so I wasn't always, you know, a gracious player. Sometimes I'd be kind of a sore loser in those days.
Okay.
But I remember thinking, well, why should I buy the chainmail and the plate mail, which are super expensive pieces of armor in between quests, and they only give me one or two extra? I'm just going to buy a bunch of helmets, and I'm going to take these to the blacksmith and just have him hammer them into armor.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Save gold. Not thinking logically, well, the blacksmith is going to charge you, so what's the difference? You know?
Okay.
So I think the first couple of quests, it was like, well, I'm just going to buy like 6 helmets and it's all going to be good.
That's awesome. I love that idea.
And since Zargon allowed it, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
And now we try to play it right.
Try to do it the right way and not be
as the designers intended. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I guess back to the timeline. So you got HeroQuest in, you know, 92 ish. Then did it go, like most people, it kind of sat on the shelf then for several years, and then did it come back out, or how did that play out?
Again, it's a little fuzzy in my mind, but I would say probably by 94-ish, I was less interested in board games, more into video games. And,
yeah.
You know, I was going into like my high school years, so it's like, yep. Okay, we'll just do that world. And then I think my brother kept on playing with my younger sister too. I don't know when he stopped playing, but yeah, it eventually, you know, we all kind of went our separate ways, and
yep.
It sat on the shelf probably till 2002.
Okay.
Because I remember I had this big stack of like printouts of like eBay auctions and like stuff from Ye Olde Inn, and it's like dated 2002, and it's like, oh yeah, because we had gotten together and for a while we lived in the same house. So
oh, okay.
We dusted off the game and like, yeah, let's play this again. I was like, oh, we could expand it. And I think the first thing we did was we printed out the combat cards.
Yes.
The Ron Church combat cards for Phoenix.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So
printed those out and like
cut them out. When did you find Ye Olde Inn? For those listening, there was a great website. I found it probably late 90s, maybe 99 or early 2000. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I remember finding it and like, oh my gosh, there's just a treasure trove of other fans. And so you must have done the same thing. You found the website and the whole community and everything, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I think at that time I wasn't looking for, oh, I need to find a community to connect with. It was just, oh, I wonder what's online for HeroQuest.
Yeah.
Now that we've dusted off the game. And that was one of the major results. Was Ye Olde Inn. And I think I didn't really pay much attention to the forums at first. It was all just the website. So anything that was on the website, I was just like reading that, like, oh, interesting. So there were all these other expansions that came out in other countries, and people have made homebrew stuff. Well, that's interesting. You know, and it was just like that. But it was like, okay, well, what's something I can print off real quick to do something?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say 2002 was about when I discovered it. But I didn't really spend a lot of time there. So maybe like a year after that, we just kind of didn't do it.
Yeah.
Went our separate ways again. And it wasn't until maybe 2017 or 2018 that I'd become involved with this board gaming group in my brother's neighborhood. And it was like, okay, so board games are popular again. Everybody's doing them. And at some point, like we played so many different games.
Yeah.
But somebody mentioned, oh, HeroQuest. Yeah, I used to play that. Like, oh,
yeah,
we did too. You know, it was just like a conversation starter.
Yeah.
And then he basically let slip this other person. Oh, yeah, I've still got my set. And I just live down the street. Like, oh, why don't you bring it over? Let's play it. You know, and so I kind of started it again. And then I, after that, it was like, okay, I want to make some stuff.
So okay.
Like, I got into the forums. I was reading all the stuff from people. And I was kind of like, oh, I like this idea, I like that idea. And then it's like, okay, well, I want to make some stuff. Here's what I'm going to do. Start making stuff. So I think, just kind of snowballed from there.
That's awesome. So what are some of the things that you made?
Yeah, well, one of the things was, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I'm just going to say there was... a motivation to create like a version of the game that didn't have magic in it.
Oh,
like, okay. I don't have any problem with magic, but some people like they don't want that because of their beliefs. So like, okay, I don't want to do this. So it's like, what would be a creative way to get around that and still enjoy the game? So I think initially we just like took all the magic out. And it's like, feels like something's missing.
Yeah.
Well, then I thought, oh, well, you could just say it's something else, like alchemy. Or something.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I came up with these. Originally, it was just cobbled together some different designs of like items. And since this is audio, I'll just describe it. But
yeah.
So like, just pick a spell. Go ahead. Just tell me one of the spells.
Let's do like the fire spell. That's a common one.
Oh, which one?
The fireball.
Okay, so the ball of flame.
Yeah, ball of flame.
Okay. Yep. So here's your powerful fire spell to kill a monster with 2 body points. It's like, oh well, Greek fire. refire something from history.
Ah, yes.
The chemical. And so you got this little like super soaker that you pump up and shoot the monster with it.
Oh, I love it. What an idea.
Yeah. And there was just, it was a fun creative challenge because I thought, well, you can pretty much think of just about whatever you want.
Yeah.
Work without it being like necessarily supernatural or occult or whatever.
Oh, okay. I like that idea. What a great idea. A way to kind of historical slash make it, I guess, less magical, more theoretical, realistic. That's a good idea.
Because as we know, alchemy doesn't actually work. I mean,
no.
but it's like, well, but what if it did?
What if it did? Yeah. No, I like that idea. What about some other projects that you did that stick out in your mind?
Yeah, well, that was the main one. I think the other issue was I just wanted, at that point, I wanted to see, okay, what were all the official products they released for HeroQuest? But in this video, I mean, well, it's audio, but I have like a nerd shelf behind me and stuff, but I didn't have unlimited money to spend. So I thought, well, what could I do to like recreate those expansions that I never had back in the day without forking over for the real thing, which is cool to have. So I used Reaper Bones miniatures.
Oh yeah.
For the plastic miniatures. They're kind of rubbery. But I found a lot of character sculptures that were similar to the original ones. In some cases I thought they looked better. I thought, okay, well I can get an ogre here, I can get some mercenaries here, I can get some evil wizards here and kind of paint them so they kind of look similar, and we can just print out some tiles and just play the expansion. So it was like, okay, I'm not doing anything original there. I'm just kind of recreating.
Sure.
We can have that experience, and then we have enough pieces so that we can do whatever we want.
Yep. Yep.
But as far as stuff I actually made, mostly I just riff on other people's ideas.
Sure.
So some people come up with expanding the armory of things you can buy in between quests, of saying, well, there's a horn that you can blow. Well, what good does that do? It scares the enemy and hurts their mind points. I thought, well, one problem we run into in games is there's never enough movement. Like, people are slow. They got their plate mail. They're slow. They're trying to catch up, trying to get through the dungeon.
Yep.
Time is limited. So, okay, what if you blow the horn and it rallies everybody and they get a movement bonus? So I did that. So you got the rallying horn. And if you do it too often, just kind of like the hyperspace and asteroid, it'll summon a bad guy, like if you do it too much.
Oh, good idea. Yeah.
Every monster pops up. And another thing was, a torch. Well, people came up with different ideas with torches. Okay, well, a torch lets you see the dungeon. Well, you can already see it. Oh, it sets an enemy on fire. It hurts a mummy more. Well, that's kind of an interesting idea. I thought, well, what if the torch just protects you from hazards when you're searching for treasure? Okay.
Oh.
People always, like, when you play a game and there's, like, people that they never, ever take an opportunity to search for treasure.
Yes.
Well, that takes the fun out of it because you want them
to find stuff. Yes. Yeah.
So it's like, well, you could buy this torch, which will save you from an unblockable, you know, pit hazard.
Yeah. I like that.
To light a torch. But then you got to balance, okay, they spent money on the torch. Are they going to get enough gold to justify, you know, buying it?
Sure. Sure.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So I made like a little tile to go with it. It's like, well, what if you set the torch down? My philosophy was I don't want to make the game too complicated.
Yeah.
Because as I'm always told, well, you can just play D&D if you want to do that.
Yes, I've heard that 1,000 times. Yes, yep.
So, it's more complicated than the original board game. I mean, I have like a bunch of extra decks of cards that I'm using. But it's still more or less in the spirit of the original game. So, I introduced a couple items like that. There's a whip. Well, okay, well, how is a whip different than like a staff? It attacks diagonally with one. Well, I thought, well, you could use the whip to, like, whip over a pit trap, like Indiana Jones, you know?
Yes, perfect.
So it's like a weaker version of the rabbit boots.
Yeah, there you go, the rabbit boots. Yeah. Oh, yeah, love those. Yeah.
I guess I'm getting kind of technical, but I guess when you edit this together, we're going to hear from other people, and maybe
HeroQuest will
know what I'm talking about.
That's what I want to know. The people that are going to be listening are HeroQuest fans, so they're going to know exactly what you're talking about. But speaking of expansions, I guess, so it sounds like you had the main system and then you had Kellar's Keep and Return to the Witch Lord. Is that it? Or did you have any others?
Back in the day, that's all we had.
That's me too.
Since that time, I mean, I have like P pieces and parts of other expansions.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're way out of my league. And since I didn't grow up in the UK, it's like the stuff is even harder because you got a portion on shipping.
Yeah. You're looking at $500 for the Barbarian Quest or Elf Quest. And I think I checked on eBay about $400 to $300 for the UK releases. Yeah. And so, like you said, you've got to go to Reaper Miniatures or something else to get it. But yeah, but the attraction is, like you said, is it's so simple. And I'm sure when you introduced it to other adults later, what was their reaction? Maybe that for people that didn't play it, but they got a hold of it as an adult. Did you have any of those in your gamers group that were adults that never played it before?
Oh, yeah. I think that's true. I think it was just the two of us and one other guy that had played it before. Everybody else, it was brand new. And I think there were a couple people who were D&D players who were like, well, this is cool, but, you know, I wish there was more, you know, extra, you know, D10s and, you know, giant dragons. And it's like, okay, they wanted it more like some other game.
Yeah.
Other people, I think they enjoyed it, but at the same time, they were like, wow, this game takes a long time. It can drag on as people argue about stuff or whatever. And so I think the length of the game works against it a little bit.
Okay.
If you're playing a solo quest, it can go pretty quick.
Yeah.
Four heroes takes a long time. So I think Board Game Geek says like 90 minutes. It's more like 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, you know, playing. It's usually at least 2 hours probably. And usually when we play, me being the DM would set it up ahead of time and everything ready so that as soon as the people get ready to play, it's a little quicker. And there's other house rules you can do to speed it up. Like if there's no monsters in the room, or you can just move to the door, you don't need to roll. My brother and I figured that out pretty quick when we were young. It's like, let's speed this up. But you're right. There is the pacing can be a little bit slow. Mm-hmm. So, but overall, would you just say positive from some of the adults that maybe had never played it before?
Yeah, I think a couple of people in the group kind of got tired of it because they're like, can we play some other games besides this? So like, I know you guys really like it, but let's play some other games.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, fair enough. It was generally positive. Sometimes you get the phenomenon where people just get bad rolls over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
They keep rolling three for movement. It's like, dang.
Yes.
And they get a little frustrated, or they keep drawing bad cards over and over.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to just draw those people in and be like, hey, it's not always like this.
Yeah,
I didn't rig it against you because I was Zargon a lot.
You were Zargon, okay.
But I think my brother likes it as much as I do, so it's kind of like, okay, who gets to do it? We never rolled to see who did it. It was just you brought it this time, you do it.
Oh, okay.
I think the rules even say, like, if you brought the game, you get to decide.
You get to decide. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Does your brother still play?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he mostly just plays when I play.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So we always play each other, and if we can drag a few other people into it, that's fine.
It's a nostalgia thing. So I'm sure if you're like me, you've got some rose colored glasses on because it takes you back, like you said, to 1992 again, and you know, playing in your parents' basement or wherever you played at and stuff like that. So
yeah, kitchen table, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and I was thinking, you know, yeah, there is a big nostalgia color to the whole thing. If we'd grown up with Dragon Strike or D&D or whatever it was, Dungeon, whatever that's called, we probably would be nostalgic about that game, and we'd be talking about that game fondly, and we'd be trying to get people to play that game. But it just so happens that, okay, HeroQuest is kind of coming to its own again, and got a community, so that kind of feeds into it. Because I don't think he spends a lot of time online looking at the mods and stuff. It's just like, oh, hey, I found this. You want to use it? Let's try it.
Yeah,
and he's really creative. He'll just grab like whatever I thought of and just be like, oh, and then here's this other thing you could do with it. Oh, wow, cool.
He takes it and makes it even better. Yeah. But the HeroQuest online community is fantastic, in my opinion. Some of the people have some really cool ideas and some things that you can add to it and just make it, again, the game can be kind of slow, but the good thing is you can create, it's an easy world to create in. You can easily create, like you said, a whip, or a torch, or a different trap, and things like that, and make it more diverse, I guess, for lack of a better word. And I think that's why it's a fun sandbox to play in, because you do have a lot of flexibility and the rules are minimal. You know, we talked about the rule book. It's not a 100-page rule book like D&D. It's a very simple, 16 pages, 18 pages, whatever it is. It's not complicated, but you can still, but you still have a lot of flexibility within that, in that world, which makes it kind of nice. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
And I feel as if, the original game, as we had it, was designed in such a way that every quest had a new gimmick. Like,
yes.
Oh, here you've got to rescue a guy and escort him to safety. Or
yes.
Here you've got to carry these treasure chests that weigh you down. Or here there's a door that randomly teleports you somewhere else. Like, there's always something new.
Yep.
And so you get all these suggestions in your mind. So when you invent your own quest, maybe you take a little here, a little there, or just something totally crazy that you can do. You know, and I'm thinking about those expansion packs, like the Elf Quest pack, the Barbarian Quest pack.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have had those as a kid, because it was like, okay, here's a whole bunch more ideas to spark your imagination.
Yes.
Create new stuff. But now, looking at the quests, we would have been so frustrated by the difficulty level of those new expansions. Because I thought Keller's Keep was pretty tough.
It was.
The Witchlord was pretty difficult.
Yeah.
There were definitely for more advanced players, and you had to be pretty dedicated. But those new expansions would have just killed us.
Yes.
And maybe even killed our enthusiasm for the game. So
I agree.
While it would have been nice to get them for like $12 through the mail back then, nowadays we'd use our imagination to like smooth that out. And I like how people have done that on the forums.
Yeah.
In the community. They'll say, listen, this quest is broken. But if you put a secret door here, and if you put a couple mercenaries here, it's doable, you know?
Yeah.
It's... And I just, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish off there.
On a roll. Yeah, I like the suggestions that people give. The common problems, they'll say, take away rolling for movement. Like, I like to roll for movement. But there's ways that you can make it easier and better. Like, okay, you rescue Sir Ragnar, you killed everyone in the dungeon, I guess it's over.
No. Yeah.
And people made different suggestions. I'm trying to think now. I had an example in my head and I kind of lost it. Anyway.
Well, the Wizards of Morcar, somebody commented about that, and I've never played it, but reading through the quest book, it is very difficult. And they said that is a very frustrating expansion. So I think I agree with you. If we would have had that when we were kids, we would have been like, this is ridiculously hard and difficult. But, but like to your alluding to what you said, people said, okay, we'll just do this and do this. And so, but I think the allure of those expansions was the figures. That was kind of the gimmick.
Yeah,
and the extra cards and extra tiles and stuff like that. So, it fed into it, but sadly, if we would have known then what we would have known now, that it was going to cost us $500, $600 to get these expansions. But hopefully, speaking of opportunities, did you get the Kickstarter? Did you back the Kickstarter for the new system?
Yes, I did.
Me too.
Okay. Well, yeah. And, I don't know if this would figure into your podcast at all, but on Ye Olde Inn, we started a thread where we're basically soliciting people who did order it to participate in like kind of an unboxing or evaluation period. Because here's the thing, and it says in the fine print, you'll know this if you pledge, is that when it arrives, you have 90 days to return it for a full refund, but only if it's unopened. So some people were like, pledge, I love HeroQuest, pledge, and then later they're like, but what if it sucks? What if they changed it? What if they broke it? What if they put in stuff that I just am going to hate?
Yeah.
So I thought, well, we could have a couple of people who had sacrificed their refund, essentially, to just open it up on camera.
Sure.
You know, unboxings are, you know, were a big thing like 5 or 10 years ago. But to say, okay, look, this is how big the miniatures are. This is how big the cards are. This is what's changed in the rules. You know, like information that the hardcore nerds want to know.
Sure, sure.
And so if you've got your box sitting in the shrink wrap, you can decide, okay, this looks great. I'm going to rip it open. Or, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to send it back. Because several people have complained online and said, well, you know, Hasbro, it's nice that they did this with Avalon Hill putting out the remake of the game that we love, but we wish they would tell us more information.
Yeah.
Like, they say stuff has changed and they've been kind of tight-lipped about it. So this would be our way of doing that. And, you know, maybe maybe they will realize that fans do want more information, even though we kind of bought it sight unseen, you know, suckers.
Yeah.
It's like, if even if they do official unboxings, I think there's still the suspicion of people who review stuff who are paid or get free copies.
Oh,
say, well, they're going to smooth things over. It's like, I want the raw nerd reaction.
Yes.
You know, hardcore fan to say, listen, they changed this and I really hate it, but just telling you. So
yeah.
This is what you're getting into.
I like that idea. I like that.
I think if we can promote that. And I mean, I'm not out for self-promotion. I don't have, I mean, Phoenix and the Jang or however you say his name, all those other guys are like way more popular. So I don't care.
Fred Jackson is a big one too. Yeah.
I don't care if it's me or whoever it is. Usually I'm the last person to get online with any of those kind of things. So I'd probably be like the 20th person to do an unboxing.
They're like, oh, we've had 50 of them.
yeah. We already know everything. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, great.
I'm real positive about it. I'm upbeat. I'm just, but again, I have the rose colored glasses on. So as soon as I saw that they were doing it, I'm like, sign me up. I'm buying this. And will I be let down? I don't know. Maybe not, but this is the first new Hero Quest we've gotten in what, 30 years or 25 years ish. So
94 was Legacy of Sorosil, which I never heard of. So that was like the last thing. That was a computer game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So as far as far as board game pieces or expansions, this will be the first time. So I'm just glad they're doing it, and I'm hoping that maybe, I doubt it'll happen, but I'm hoping and praying that maybe they will release a version 2 of Barbarian Elf and Morcar and all those expansions again.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I don't have to pay $500 for an original, even though I would never do that, but
yeah, I have a few things to say about that. I don't know, in the interest of time, if you want me to.
Go ahead. No, I want the dirty, deep, dirty, good, bad, or ugly.
Yeah, I was very reluctant when the Kickstarter began. In fact, when I first saw it, like a lot of other people, I thought this is going to be like a mobile game or something. This is not going to be a game.
I heard that,
It looked, everything was computer generated at first, and so it looked like, okay, this is going to be something you play on your phone, not an actual game. And I was reluctant for a lot of reasons. One was, okay, as an old school person who grew up in the 80s, I've seen a lot of franchises get rebooted.
Yeah.
And they always leave something to be desired, and they kind of fizzle out, and they actually turn people off of the franchises. So whether it's, you know, Star Wars or Doctor Who or whatever, it's like there's some enthusiasm, but then it kind of gives away to, I don't know if the people in charge really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if they really connect with the fans.
Transformers.
That's a big one. That's a huge one, actually. And I saw all those in the theaters, so that's how bad I am. Oh, except for the last night.
Okay.
Which I didn't miss anything. But yeah. So there was some of that fear. It's like, okay, what are they going to do to ruin this thing that I like?
I understand.
Very kind of tepid. A couple of the other things was a lot of people in the forums are from the UK, and they're really like hardcore, like, this is our game. It started out in Europe.
Yep.
It should bow down. It's like, I don't feel that way. I feel as if you can have these different canons, if you want to call them. I mean, it's a board game.
Yeah.
It's like different canons that conflict with each other. You know, there's differences between the US version and the European version. So whatever, and the Japanese version is completely different. So it's like, those can exist side by side. And I was feeling bad because initially they said, well, it's not going to ship to the UK. It's only going to be US and Canada and Mexico. And so that, but then it's like, oh, it'll ship to Brazil and it'll ship to the UK and Australia. So, okay, well, good for them. So just looking at it as, okay, as a company, you want to treat your fans right.
Yeah.
So that kind of boosted my confidence a little bit more because I'm not loyal to the company. I'm loyal to the product.
Yes.
That's how I see it. I mean, Hasbro, Milton Bradley, whatever. Avalon Hill, I'd never heard of them before this. So there was that. And then there was just a couple small things like, okay, are the figures going to be in different colors like the original was? Or are they expecting to paint everything? And they clarified, okay, yes, they're going to be red and green and white.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Great. Something I'm still curious about is what the distribution of this. I know that... because of COVID-19, like, you can't just waltz into your local game shop and be like, oh yeah, there's Hero Quest, I'm going to buy this and play it with all my friends. So it's a little harder. But if I remember correctly, I mean, HeroQuest, we didn't go online and order it.
No.
We didn't go to like Mayhem Comics and buy it. It was like you go to Walmart or you go to Toys R Us, you
know, Kmart, like, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. KB Toys, whatever it is. You go in and just, okay, Monopoly, Clue. Oh, HeroQuest. Oh, there it is.
Let's get it. Exactly.
Like, if they're smart, I feel like that's what they would do. If they keep this as a niche product that's only for hardcore geeks and collectors, maybe it's not going to be the best thing. Like, they'll reach a lot more people if they open it up.
And I agree.
A specialty item. Like, if you only order this through Hasbro, like, I feel like this is going to be, you know, like a Stranger Things kind of thing. You know, people are just going to buy up the stock and they're going to sell it on eBay. They're going to scalp it and no one's going to hear about it except, oh yeah, HeroQuest. Yeah, I own 3 copies still in the shrink wrap. It's like, it should be a board game for everyone.
Yes.
It starts out as a game that's purporting to be, okay, we're taking D&D out of the realm of, you know, hardcore nerds and just giving it to the masses.
Yes.
So, yes, now they're playing on the nostalgia of people who owned it back then. But I feel like they should open up more. And I'm not quite sure if they're going to do that yet. So I'm a little bit unsure. Yes, it would be awesome if they released more expansions. But I think we're kind of getting ahead of it because we don't know what changes they're going to make.
Yeah.
We don't know the quality of the new quests that they're introducing. We already know about some of the stuff that they've made. They've shared like the new heroes that they've created for the... presumably for the expansions. We know Stephen Baker, who worked on the original game.
Yeah.
Wrote at least 2 quests. We don't know if he wrote 10 or 5 or whatever. But for all we know, he's lost his touch. Maybe they're terrible.
I don't know.
We don't know. I mean, I love George Lucas, but, you know, everything he did wasn't great with Star Wars. So just because you were part of the original doesn't mean you still got it. I mean, I hope you still got it.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll find out. So depending on how well they do on this, that would affect my decision to want to promote and invest in, you know, new remakes and expansions. But they definitely need to iron out some of the bugs in the existing properties.
I mean, I agree. I think the reason maybe they did this is to kind of gauge the interest, which in my opinion, I think the interest was very strong because they don't want to put a product out there that has little interest. So I think they probably using this as to test the waters to see. And I agree about the quest. I don't know if the quest book, I was under the impression that the quest book's going to be exactly like the original, but I'm not 100% sure. I could be wrong on that. So,
Well, but people listening to this already know the answer.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, sorry. Did you want to say? No,
that's fine. They did listen to the fans at first. All the figures were going to be gray, and then they did the red, the green, the white, and the gray. So I think they're I think they're kind of listening, but they are a big company and they're Hasbro. It seemed to me that they just dropped this out of the blue. There was a little bit, you know, on Twitter, there's a little bit of announcement, and then all of a sudden the Kickstarter happened. I just happened to be on, but, you know, a lot of people missed it. So I'm hoping they do put it in our local Walmarts and Targets and game stores and allow people to buy the base set. I think it would do well, and I think it would reintroduce a whole new generation of fans that would get started with this and go to other things. And were you the same way? Was HeroQuest kind of your start into fantasy? Did it lead to D&D or Magic the Gathering or anything else, or what did it lead to?
Well, that's the funny thing. If that was the point, then they utterly failed on me because I did not. I played Dungeons and Dragons like 3 times in my life.
Yeah. I've only played once.
Those times it was the Star Wars spinoff version. I think another one was like a superhero, the comic book version. So I didn't get into that because I know Hasbro now owns all that stuff. I didn't get into Magic the Gathering. I had friends who did. I didn't, you know, I was not the stereotypical, like, neckbeard guy. And no offense to those people. You can wear it proud. But it's like the idea that, oh, this was just a stepping stone to Warhammer Fantasy. No, it wasn't that way for me at all. It was like, I enjoy this game. It's a lot of fun. And you know what? I don't need anything. So it kind of, I guess it defeats itself profit-wise because I just bought it once and that was good enough.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's delayed reaction. Now they're going to sell it to me again.
Yeah.
Essentially the same game. So but, whatever. But for some people, I think it will. It'll be like, wow, this is a lot of fun. I guess I do like fantasy RPGs. I'm going to go buy Warhammer Quest, or I'm going to go buy Gloomhaven. I'm going to go buy the latest D&D, whatever.
Yeah.
So they have that potential to grab those people for sure. You know,
sure.
It's like training wheel, something else. But I think it's something great for its own sake.
Oh yeah, it is. What do you think about? So if let's just fantasy pick here about, say, Hasbro does put it out into retail stores everywhere. What would you like to see for the expansions, or what type of expansions, or would you like to see them to release the original expansions again, or would you like to see something totally different? Just let's just have fun and pick some things. What would you like to see?
Yeah, for sure. I guess if I had to do it, I would say, from what I've understood, I saw that very scripted Q&A that they had where the guys were like, they were reading teleprompters.
Oh, yeah.
And their questions were all very careful. But it sounded like they were just going to be releasing the North American version straight up. I mean, yes, the art is all redesigned. There was a couple rule clarifications.
Yeah.
Which we didn't get, like, okay, can you pass items between characters? What if there's a monster right behind another monster? Do you see them both? I wish they get more into that, but
sure.
If it were me, I would say there's what I imagine them doing as a company, but then you're asking what I would want them to do.
Yeah, what would you do?
Yeah, I would say all of the stuff that was officially produced from back in the day should be re-released.
Yes.
Like, all that lore that they've already created. And the reason for that is because it came out of that same milieu, those same designers and early fans. You know, so you get White Dwarf magazine, you get Dave Morris with the novels, you get Marvel Comics Winter Special, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, and in the Elf Quest and the Barbarian Quest, and against the Ogre Horde, versus Morcar, the Dark Company, all that stuff. Because what you're trying to do, presumably, is appeal to the nostalgia of the old fans.
Okay? Yep.
And you're trying to show new potential fans what was it that captured everybody's imagination from back then. So you bring it all back.
Yes, I agree.
And the trouble is going to be they're going to have to go in and decide what they're going to do with each of those. So Against the Ogre Horde was released in the EU, so it had the EU rule set.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to do like what Phoenix did and modify it so that it works with the new rules and not make it so hard, because now all the monsters have multiple body points.
Yeah.
And not make it so, not make it too easy, too hard, just balance it. And then with the Elf Quest pack and the Barbarian Quest pack, you're going to have to figure out a way to like still capture the fun and discovery of it, but not make it so crushingly difficult that it just destroys people's love of the game. So there's going to be some work they'd have to do.
Yeah.
I feel like when they're creating brand new stuff, like they're doing with this remake with the two new quest books and the three new heroes, it's like, okay, they had to make stuff up.
Yeah.
Which is easier or harder, to revise the old stuff or to make something up brand new? I suspect, though, it has more to do with probably licensing or who owns the rights to whatever. Because as several people pointed out, HeroQuest kind of derives its inspiration from early Warhammer fantasy from that period.
Yep.
And I never got into that, so I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, I want to see Chaos Warriors. I want to see Fimmers. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I had this crazy idea, and it's like, I'm not a lawyer, so someone could just laugh this off if they know what really happens. It's like, okay, well, Hasbro, you need to enter negotiations with Games Workshop and be like,
yep.
Let's release a supplement later that has the official like Chaos Warriors and the official Fimmers,
yes.
You know, that you can throw into your pack. So that way everybody wins. Nobody loses out. Like, they've already bought the set they can have. Because what people like me are going to do is we're going to go online, or we're going to get our Sculpey out, and we're going to try to make stuff so that it looks more like the old HeroQuest that we love. We're going to rewrite the rules. We're going to draw a line through that. I mean, the European guys are going to cross out Zargon and they're going to write Morcar.
Morcar, yeah, yeah.
So since people are going to do that anyway, why not profit from that and make a deal, whatever you got to do, bring that stuff out? Because, yes, you can still play the old games, but right now it's just the hardcore collectors that are going to do that.
You know, most
people got rid of their sets or they never had it, and so whatever they're getting is what's in the box. So
I agree.
Whatever they can do to make that fun and interesting, they should do. So yeah, I bring them all those back. I'd be okay with them making new stuff too.
Yeah,
but I think it has to fit in with the spirit of what came before.
I 100% agree. I think you start with what you already have because you already you already have a base customer there anyway that'll probably buy. If we all like it, we'll go and buy the Elf Quest, Barbarian Quest, the new one. Why not? And get those. I agree. They should make. They should have made some deal with Citadel or whoever has a license to all of that, and have released it 100%. But fine. I had some ideas of maybe after all the base sets, base expansions are done, maybe you release just a furniture pack that just has different furniture that fits in the HeroQuest world. Okay. Or a card pack that just has spells and equipment and treasure, just a card pack. And then why not release just a monster pack that just has monsters in it, just a variety of different monsters. And then maybe a heroes pack that has new heroes in it. You could do all sorts of things. Maybe a tile pack that just has different types of tiles and traps and stuff like that. So they could go all over the place with it.
For sure. 100%. I agree with all those things. You know, absolutely.
Yeah, and then come out with some software that lets you build your own. You know, we have Hero Scribe now, but why doesn't Hasbro just release their official version, and people can design their own quests and things like that? So, but
that is a great point. I think if there's one thing I really feel like U.S. Fans missed out on was the Adventure Design Kit. Because it was like, oh, they give you a sticker sheet and they give you a blank. And it's like, okay, how is that different than what you had in the game system? But it was like, they were fully promoting, like, we want to make this as easy as possible for you to make your own quests. And they gave you a little guidebook that told you, okay, here's some pointers. You know, don't put a lot of dead ends. You know, make sure there's a way that the heroes can get out. And, you know, just don't put too many monsters in. Like, all these tips. And they gave you a new character sheet that was easier to organize.
Yeah.
So I really wish we'd gotten something like that. So something like that could really make a difference. Yeah, maybe it would be like an app on your phone, or maybe it would be whatever, you know, a dry erase thing that you magnets you could stick to things to.
Or even just a website, even just a website that has let you build it yourself and you can print it out, or an app, you know, whatever. I mean, they're again, Hasbro is gigantic. They surely have got some developers that could do that and really tap into the creativity side of it. And obviously having that creativity there builds on your expansions and other things that you're doing, and you get a little more life out of it. That was the whole design of the blank map at the end, was to get more life out of the game. And we did, we all took advantage of that. I think, I mean, my brother and I, we came up with all sorts of quests when we were young. So I think, but you know, we're just the fans here. Hasbro has all sorts of plans, but just to like what you said, it's like, this is going to generate revenue. Like you said, like, why not appeal that should have some appeal to Hasbro, you would think.
Yeah. I'm trying to think like a Souls Corporation here, but it's like, okay, the more creativity I put in the hands of the fans, the less they're going to just take whatever I give them. Like, I want to be able to just create a product.
True.
And then they buy it, and then, oh, you want more spells, huh? Well, here, yeah, got to buy the spell expand. Oh, you want more monsters. Even though I like those ideas, it's like I can see them going, well, we want them to keep buying and keep buying and keep buying.
Yeah.
There's a way to get around that, and I think that goes to what you were saying with the creativity aspect of it, because the creativity cannot be cut off. Like, that's going to happen no matter what. If they put no blank quest at the end, people are still going to mess with it.
Oh, yeah.
I think the fact that they put out that playtest stuff, they're like, yeah, playtest our heroes. Playtest this particular quest. Well, how can people do that unless they're already in that mindset of creating new stuff? Like, they're telling us to do it.
Yeah.
So I want them to make good on that. I think if they had, like, back in the day, you'd have those fan zines, or however you say it, you know, like Adventures Unlimited, you had White Dwarf. People would send in quests and they go, oh yeah, here's the quest of the month that so-and-so sent in, and they print it in a nice looking format.
Yep.
If they promote that, like, they could have rankings. They could have featured quests. They could have fan votes. Like,
you contests.
Could have a whole creator. Yeah, contests. You have a whole creator aspect to it that they would promote, which, okay, maybe there's a subscription fee for accessing that, you know, information. And so, there's still a way that they could not just promote customer loyalty. to also generate money. And so, yeah, they could justify it by not just saying, well, we're going to, if we make it too open, we'll just, you know, write ourselves out of business because people won't buy the new stuff. It's like, no, they'll buy your miniatures. They'll wad up the quest they don't like and throw it away. And then they'll write a new one that they like.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But they should still make those quests good, I think.
Well, of course, yeah, they need to make the quest good. But yeah, I think you've got a big enough fan base. Heck, I really like that idea of contests and the quest of the month and be the developer of the month and just to see your name on the website or whatever. People would just eat that up. And yeah. And there's
steal
a whole,
our ideas, Hasbro. Steal our
yeah,
ideas.
Come on. The whole community, I think, is not afraid. They're like, yes, please come get some ideas. And hopefully somebody from Hasbro is kind of checking in on some of those forums. And there's such a treasure trove there of ideas and concepts and fun things that they could easily pick up on. And I'm kind of like you, maybe a little bit. I'm a little bit skeptical on some of it, but the fact that they even did it in the first place is just phenomenal. You can read the old Dwayne Agin in forums where people were doing petitions, trying to get Hasbro to release these 20 years ago. And then they finally did it. And so I'm just excited that they're doing it. But yeah, I am a little, one side of me is like, I don't know if they're fall through or not, or will they give us what we're looking for? That's always the challenge. But,
and I think I didn't quite answer my own question from earlier, is to say, well, what led me to support it? I guess there were little hints that they did care about fan feedback like that. I think there was when they released the Druid design, everyone made fun of it. And so they said, okay, we'll tweak it some more. Like, okay, they're listening a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. Yeah, I think the willingness to listen, and I did feel at the bottom of it, I do want to support this because it looks like they care and it looks like they're not changing a lot of stuff.
Nope.
So just like a lot of nostalgic franchises have come back and been ruined or diluted or distorted.
Yeah.
They seem to be on the right track. So I want to support that effort, but of course they've already got my money. I've already invested my $150 plus shipping. So, you know, if it turns out to be bad and if their next ideas are bad, I guess I'm going to have to cut it off. But
yeah.
The fans, they vote with their wallets, you know.
Yeah. You go break out your old base system and just play that.
Yeah. As a fan, I've still got the old set. And if you really want to, you can get the old set. It's going to cost you a bundle.
Yeah.
But not that much more. I think you can get a game system for like $170. And yeah, it's going to be dusty and a couple of the swords are going to be bent, but it's pretty much the same thing.
It is. It is. I'm really hopeful that they release it into the stores so that other, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 year olds can pick it up again. And then, you know, 30 years from now, they're talking about it still.
So they can have the experience that we had.
Yeah.
It was great. It was fun. It was awesome.
It was. It was. Well, hey, I think we're going to put a pin in this. It's been fun talking.
Okay. I could probably go on for another 2 hours, but you got other people thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. I'll shoot you an email when the episode comes out. And, I've told everybody else too. I've talked to several other fans, and maybe when the new version comes out, definitely get some feedback from people and talk about it some more, and maybe some new quests that they've come up with or some new ideas, some new fun house rules and things like that. So, but yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's a fun community. I really like being part of it.
Yeah, for sure. I'd do it again. So thanks for doing what you do. I honestly had not been familiar with your podcast before this, but I'll definitely check it out.
No, hey,
I was allowed to be part of it.
No obligation. You know, I just talk about nerdy stuff. I got an episode coming out on Tuesday about X of Swords, the X-Men comic that came out. And then we do live events. You remember the old Choose Your Own Adventure books from the 80s?
Oh, yeah. I've got a bunch of them back there.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so me and another guy, we do these live events on Facebook where we go through the old book. Well, right now we're doing one of the games, the House of Danger game based on the book. And then people can come into the chat on Facebook or Twitter and tell us, okay, we're at a stopping point. Where do you want us to go? Do you want us to go down the hall or do you want us to go down the stairs? And then we just go through it, and it's fun. So.
Yeah. Great. I've tried to read some of these to my niece. She's getting into that age where it's like, okay. But eventually she'll just be reading them on her own. I would just say a tip for your Choose Your Own Adventure people, never run on a spiral staircase. I've learned anything.
Yes.
That always ends bad.
Yeah. You can always, those books are fun because you can always get the spider sense, for lack of a better word, that this next one probably going to kill me. You just kind of get that feeling. So, but they're fun. I'm kind of a nostalgia nut, so I kind of like that. That's why I was like, when getting back into HeroQuest again here over the last couple of years, I was like, wow, it's kind of gone up and down. I got into it quite a bit in the late 90s, early 2000s when I found Dwayne Agin's Inn. Then I got out again, and then I got back in again. You know, it just keeps pulling me back, but it's just such a fun game. It always pulls you back in again, no matter what.
So you got into it before I did, because it was some years later, quite a bit later.
Yeah.
But now I'm all in, and you know, just because something is from your childhood, it doesn't necessarily always age well. But I think HeroQuest has definitely aged well.
It has,
in my opinion. I mean, if you're just tired of board games. Okay, fine. But there is that discovery and then introducing to other people and then seeing what they come up with too is definitely part of the fun. So if that keeps rolling, if that creativity and that inspiration keeps rolling, I think the game will have a long lifespan.
I think so. I agree. Cool. Well, hey, thanks, Kurgan.
I always enjoy these walks down memory lane with other people with similar interests. It was great doing these three episodes about HeroQuest. I really enjoyed it. Thank you to everybody that helped participate in this. I really appreciate it. Took me a while to get the episodes out, but finally got them out. Again, go to covertnerd.net for all the different ways you can get in touch with me and past episodes. And again, please share this with a friend if you think they might find this or any other topics interesting. And until next time, nerd it up.